On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It is your main man, Chris Smith, executive producer of the WAOK Morning Show. It is currently 9:06 a.m. in the morning in Metro Atlanta. Hope everybody is doing well. We got 1 hour left, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that you get those call lines in. That phone line is 404-726-1380. If you heard those powerful words that were being spoken right before the show just started, that was none other than a familiar voice that's been on the program various times. You know who this is, but you know we have to give a warm welcome all the time for none other than an international scholar, Dr. Chika Akua. He's also the author of 11 books, including his most recent, which is Honoring Our Ancestral Obligations, 7 Steps to Black Student Success. He does so much in the community across the world, even a phenomenal trip to Egypt that you all even got a chance to be a part of. We have him on the program today. Great morning, Dr. Cool. How you doing, sir?
It's a blessing to be here with you, Brother Chris. How are you today?
I am doing great, and it's always an honor to talk to you, sir. First, before we get right into it, how was your Thanksgiving yesterday?
Oh, everything was wonderful, brother. There's so much to be thankful for. And yes, anytime we have the opportunity to get together with family is so important. I got to spend it with my father, who is 93, about to turn 94 years old.
Wow.
As well as with my wife and son. So we feel very blessed.
Awesome. Love to hear that. Likewise, I literally just got back. Well, my family was actually in town, so I didn't have to leave out of town, but we literally stayed together the whole day, whole night, just talking and just connecting with each other. So it was definitely good, and I'm glad to hear it was good on your end. But we know what the topic is for today. I brought you on the program, sir, because there's a lot going on. As we know, this is post-presidential election. Our people are feeling a way about what's going on, whether the media is saying something or not. We hear it. We feel it right here on WAOK. And I wanted to start this off by first playing a clip of a recent viral clip. I played this on the show yesterday, and it's something that has been pretty much permeating across all the news outlets, but it's had a backlash response from our community. So before we dive into it, I want to play the clip first, and I'm going to bring it right back in.
I don't think you can change that part of human nature. But what you can do is you can make kids resilient against it. And the way you do that is by giving them a great education so that they know that they have potential. And the other thing is to give them business models, role models, and opportunities within their own neighborhood. You know, black men who are running barbershops, who are running bars, who are running dance studios, who are running local businesses, restaurants, etc., and who are part of that community. And you know, when I was a kid, my uncle was the first Irish Catholic president of our country, and when he ran for president, there was a tremendous resurgence in anti-Catholic sentiment in this country, and a resurgence of the Ku Klux Klan. I remember crosses being burned when I was a kid against an anti-Catholic president, a lot of other, I was called a Mick, a mackerel snatcher, all these anti-Catholic slurs when I was a kid. But it never bothered me. If somebody called me that, I would think that guy's got a problem. But I didn't think I have a problem. And that because I had a great education, I had a family who loved me, I had role models in my country, I had confidence in my own future. Oh, you know, those kind of things had no impact on me. And that's the kind of resilience that we want to give the black American children.
So that was RFK Jr. basically speaking at a town hall about being resilient against racism. And we know you have so many teachings virtually across the planet that we can be able to search up and learn of you actually teaching about racial discrimination. And thus far, based off of what he stated and the backlash the black community is giving back to that, how do you respond to his perspective on resilience? And what do you think it misses when it comes to addressing the root causes of systematic racism?
Sure. All we've ever been as a people is resilient. So we don't need anybody preaching resilience to us. In addition to that, oftentimes when the term racism is used, it's used without a proper understanding of what it is. And there are many differing definitions. I prefer the definition of doctor.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, who in substance says that it's really a system of advantage and privilege based on race, and that it's a global system that affects every area of people activity, including education, economics, entertainment, labor, law, politics, sex, and war. And as a global system, racism is embedded into so much of what is done on an everyday basis. And so when people don't understand the true definition, then it's easy to make certain blanket statements and so forth. But one of the things that I heard in another clip of him is basically rationalizing and saying that it's always been here, it's always going to be here. There's this rationalizing and universalizing about racism, like, this is just part of, you know, human nature and so forth. No, there's something very different about what white folk have done, not only in America, but around the world. And we need to be very, very clear about that. So it's very easy for white liberals to say, oh, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, be resilient. And that patronizing and paternalistic attitude does not address systemic inequities. Because at the same time they're saying to be resilient and have role models and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, at the very same time they're placing barriers and reinforcing systemic and historic barriers to keep us from achieving equity in so many of the areas of life that are essential to our flourishing. So I don't take what he says with any value, and we should not be looking to him to provide us with wisdom and guidance. We should be looking to our ancestors and our ancestral tradition of excellence, our ancestral tradition of resilience and grit. These are the things that come to mind when I heard that clip.
Absolutely. And that is why I'm so glad, because I wanted to make sure we brought you on the program, because after that was going around, you had people that was basically saying, OK, maybe we just need to forget. Maybe we just need to keep it up like that. And I'm like, hey, I don't know, that's not sounding right to me. So I appreciate that clarity. And one thing that I also wanted to speak about while we were still on this topic, your publication, Dismantling the Preschool to Prison Pipeline, man. This is literally right on top of what we are literally dealing with. Before we get into the meat of everything else, could you just briefly talk about your recent publication of this and what you're basically speaking about with this?
Yeah, that was a special report that I was commissioned to write by the Wayfounder Foundation and Racial Justice Now. So shout out to Sister Zakiya Sankara Jabbar and Hashim Jabbar for helping to provide me that opportunity to conduct that research. When we talk about dismantling the preschool to prison pipeline, we're talking about systems that are in place that coerce our children into the criminal justice system by the way that they're treated. And what we found in the research literature prior to me writing that, you would hear talk of the school to prison pipeline, that there are certain things happening in elementary school, middle school, high school, and so forth, where black children were being punished in ways that other children weren't. Black children were being surveilled and watched in ways that other children weren't. But what we were able to determine that it wasn't the school to prison pipeline, it was actually the preschool to prison pipeline, that black boys were being suspended at an alarming rate in preschool as 3 and 4 year olds for behaviors that are not uncommon amongst 3 and 4 year olds. And so we have to be mindful of the way that our children are perceived in society. I'll give you a quick example, Chris. When one of my sons was maybe 8 or 9 years old, we stopped at a gas station and he asked me if he could go in and get a pack of gum while I was pumping gas. I said, sure, go ahead. Just make sure you get a receipt. And so he came back and he comes back to the car and he's chewing his gum. I said, hey, did you get a receipt? He said, no, I forgot, Dad. I said, didn't I tell you to get a receipt? He said, yeah, but it's not that big of a deal. It's just a pack of gum. I said, no, it is a big deal. It's not just a pack of gum. Now, let me pause right here and say this was not a financial literacy lesson. This was a social lesson in what it means to be a young black male in this society. And the reason I told him to get a receipt is because without a receipt, he could be accused of stealing that gun. Yes. When I used to teach middle school, I asked my students one day how many of them were followed in the grocery stores and in the shopping malls and different things of that nature. Almost all the hands of my all-black class went up, and they talked about how they're constantly being watched. And so it's interesting that young black males and even females have been criminalized and gangsterized and stigmatized as so-called thieves and criminals. But we live in a nation that was literally stolen from us. One of my students, you know, yelled out when I was, you know, having that survey and that discussion with them. They said, dang, Mr. Kua, they stole countries and continents, but we get locked up if they think we stole a candy bar. Think about that for a moment. So these are the types of things that we need to be aware of and conversations that we need to have with our children to make sure that they're very clear about how they present themselves in the community and in society and live up to the best standards of our ancestral excellence.
Absolutely. Currently, you all, we are speaking with international scholar Dr. Chika Akua. You've seen him on TV. You've heard him across the world. Right now, we have him on the program. We're speaking about some important topics needed to be discussed. On the next break, we are going to talk about more about racial discrimination and how education plays a role in that and what things can be changed in the education system. And also, we're not just giving you all this history for no reason. You have a chance to be involved in the June 2025 Egypt trip. We'll be right back on the other side. You're tuned in to News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Apple juice falling from my lips. Took a little sip on.
Welcome back. Welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It is your main man, Chris Smith. And just 30 minutes left of the program. Right now, you're tuning to our exclusive interview with none other than international scholar Dr. Chika Akua. You have heard him on the program various times. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is live today. If you just heard that drop, that is a little bit more of our education. Before you got off from the next break, sir, I had one question I wanted to pose to you. The role of education in combating racial discrimination. In your experience, what role does education play in addressing racial inequities in today's polarized political climate? And how can schools and educators help combat racial discrimination, especially post-2024 elections, sir?
Well, historically, education has played the ultimate role in helping us to rise up as a people. You know, coming through and out of the enslavement experience, we understood that in order to advocate on behalf of your people and to be able to be of service to your people, you had to be educated. Education was denied us, and we needed people who could read and write and do math to be able to review contracts and to advocate on our behalf of different things of that nature in society. So you were seen as a liability to your community if you were not educated. And it was seen as your ancestral obligation. It was seen as your duty to your community and your people to be educated. And so there was a community thrust to make sure that young people were educated in the best tradition of our ancestors. So education is critical to our uplift. But bear in mind, Brother Chris, that at no time in the United States of America and its history, at no time has education for black people been equitably funded. I'm going to say that again because I really want the audience, the listening audience, to understand this. At no time in the history of the United States of America has education been equitably funded for black children. In addition to that, black children are less likely to have teachers that are certified in the core areas of language arts, math, science, and social studies. In addition to that, over 70% of urban school teachers are white and female, which constitutes a cultural mismatch in the classroom, where we have teachers who do not understand our children, their history, their culture, their legacy, or their potential. So all of these are deeply problematic when it comes to our education. And so one of the things that we must be vigilant about is to make sure that our schools are equitably funded, because these are our tax dollars. In addition to making sure that our schools are equitably funded, we have to make sure that we have more Black teachers and teachers of color, but not just Black teachers and teachers of color, but those that are of the right consciousness and competence to teach our children. When I say consciousness, I'm talking about mindset. When I talk about competence, I'm talking about skill set. There are certain methods that have been proven scientifically to unlock, release, and release the genius in Black children. And oftentimes, teachers are not being taught those methods. Now, this is not me talking down about teachers. I'm a former public school teacher myself, and teachers have to deal with a lot. But they're in need of much more support in order to better serve the children in our community. So these are some of the things that we need to be thinking about as it relates to education.
Wow, well said, sir. And you have a trip to Egypt in June 2025. And for those who they're listening in right now and they love what you're saying and want to be able to learn more from you directly, can we speak a little bit more to how this June 2025 Egypt trip is looking, sir? I know it was some people that missed out last time. Well, you're here today to share a little bit more about it.
Sure. And I'm still getting, you know, calls and emails and text messages about that trip from last year and how people can get involved this year.
Yes,
it's taking place June 17th through the 29th next year, 2025, June 17th through the 29th. It's an incredible life-changing trip where we're going to sail the Nile. We're going to visit the pyramids, the Sphinx. We're going to go to the great temples. You're going to have a lecture every morning before we go out to visit the different places. But what's really going to happen is we're going to be reconnecting to our roots. We're going to be going to one of the greatest classical African civilizations to see what our ancestors did and what we can take from that in rebuilding ourselves. So for those that are interested in that a little more, you can go to travelwithdrakua.com. That's travelwithdrakua, DRAKUA.com. Travelwithdrakua.com. And all of the information is there that will allow you to register and place your deposit and make payments. But it's going to be an incredible trip. It was amazing last year, and it's going to be even more amazing this year, Brother Chris. And I want to thank you for helping us to get the word out about that.
Absolutely, sir. They call up here all the time, literally asking about it. So I it was only a matter of time before we had to get you back on the program, sir, and hope to have you right back again to talk a little bit more about it. Dr. Cool, we appreciate the time that you've given us thus far. It's always a pleasure getting a chance to talk with you, sir. Are there any parting words you would like to leave with our listeners before we get you back on your road?
Yes, thanks so much. When we were talking about the importance of education, brother, one thing we have to be very clear about is that there are certain things that public and even private schools will not and cannot teach our children. And there's certain things that we must do at home. I want to encourage everyone to go to readingrevolution.org. Readingrevolution.org. We know that the teaching of our authentic history is under attack right now.
Yes, sir.
And we are going to have to teach that. Other free, proud, and productive people don't leave that to chance. They don't leave that in other people's hands to teach, and neither can we. And so at readingrevolution.org, what you'll find is our program that contains 90 brief reading selections about Black heroes and sheroes, along with reading comprehension, vocabulary development, grammar, and writing activities, all in an online interactive platform. So if you go to readingrevolution.org, you can receive a free demo. And if you click on parents, there's a very, very special discount available to those who want to enroll in our membership. We have to start teaching these things at home. So very, very important, brother.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cool. We appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just tuning in to the interview, this will be live on the WOK platforms right after the show ends. That way you can be able to check in, hear everything you missed, and we'll make sure to have you back. Thank you so much, Dr. Cool. You have a great one, sir.
Thank you, brother. Have a blessed day.
Yes, sir. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we have our next exclusive guest on the VIP line. We'll be right back, and we're going to get into some entrepreneurship to finish out this show. You're tuned in to News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.